SQPN presents The Catholic Insider. Hi, and welcome to a special mini-series of The Catholic Insider. I'm your host, Father Roderick. These episodes are part of a long-running series that you can find on www.catholicinsider.com. For years, I have traveled the world to take you, the listener, to exciting places where you had never gone before. We explored mysterious ruins on the rocky cliffs of Ireland. We ventured into dark catacombs deep under the ground and managed to get access to the beautiful but normally inaccessible palaces of the Vatican. In these next few episodes, we will not visit churches or cathedrals, but a whole other type of sanctuary. I will take you on an exclusive tour of the birthplace of the most dysfunctional yellow family in the world. You are about to discover the secrets of the process by which Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie come to life every day, thanks to the creative talent of an impressive number of artists. And one of them, Luis Escobar, who worked on countless TV episodes of The Simpsons, who is the author of many Simpsons comic books, and who worked on The Simpsons movie, will be our guide. So let's zoom in on the world of Springfield, where pink donuts, yellow overweight fathers, and spiky-haired brats all start as a few dark pencil lines on a white sheet of paper.
You can hear a train in the background. We're at Burbank, and I am standing in front of the place of the building where the Simpsons movie is produced and also the Simpsons TV show. And I'm here with Luis, who is working on the show. Hi, Luis.
Hi.
What exactly is your job here?
I do character layout on The Simpsons, which is kind of like doing animation, basically. It's up a little bit more. We also set up the shots and the camera movements and do a rough background for a background cleanup artist to do.
That's already a lot of technical information, but so you're working on the Simpsons TV show and the Simpsons movie.
I did some work on the movie for about a month, and off and on I go in and do some of the movie on the weekends. But mostly, I basically spend all my days at on the show.
So let me describe the building. We're standing in front of it. It's just an office building. There are a couple of palm trees here. It's night, as you can hear. There's the Burbank Airport right across the street. The artwork is here, I suppose, and the writing takes place elsewhere?
Yes, it does. I think it takes place at the Fox Studio lot, which is, Santa Monica.
Right. But everything that's art-related takes place here.
Yes. We're basically the animation studio, which they hired to do the work. It used to once be a studio called Klasky Chupo in the first season or second season, and then it became Film Roman. And Film Roman has gone through a lot of changes, so it was then DPS Film Roman, and now it's Stars something, Entertainment, I think.
Okay. How many people work here?
Well, on The Simpsons? Yeah, in The Simpsons, I'm not sure about it. Well, now our numbers have grown, if you count the movie people. Oh, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, I don't know. There's just a lot of people.
And they all work in this building?
Yes.
Unbelievable. And can we go inside and take a look?
Sure. The studio that also does this Futurama, it's also working on the movie too. So it's kind of like a joint.
They really pull all the stops for this movie.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, can you show us around?
Sure.
Excellent. It says IDT Entertainment Plaza. In case of emergency, call this number. We're here with a couple of people, Greg and Jennifer from Rosary Army, Shannon Swenson, and Captain Jeff, and Louise. And I feel like I'm entering a sanctuary, actually.
It's really quiet. It's way after hours. So.
I thought you people would be working like shifts of 24 hour.
Well, if anybody's working late, it's probably at the Fox lot, because on the weekends, they're always asking people to come in and work at the Fox Studios, because that's where the editing system is for the movie.
All right.
So they work directly with computers at that point, because it's just easier to transfer into editing that way.
I see. We're in an elevator, and we're now on the third floor.
So is what you do old-time type of animation, or is it, are you hand-drawing an animation in each cell? Is that what you're doing, or?
Yeah, up until a couple of years ago, we used to use cells.
Yeah.
Now it's all digitally colored, but our side of it is still hand-drawn.
On paper, on the computer?
On paper. Only in the feature have we actually started drawing on...
Using stylus?
Wacom Cintiqs, that's what they're called. They're Cintiqs. They're basically like monitors that you could actually draw on.
Okay, cool.
So, they're like $2,500 each, so they're not going to give us one on our desks because they're kind of expensive.
You're wondering what the heck's going on?
Here's a black wall, and... Luis can open every door with a sort of beeper thingy that he waves in front of something. Wow, this is cool. There's a light wooden floor here and corridors. And the walls, there's a kind of open walls that separate various areas here. And the walls are painted light yellow. It's almost a Simpsons collar. And there are small tables here with very modern looking chairs.
This is the cafeteria, or the lounge, I guess, where we just sit down and eat. We've got some refrigerators, is where we put our food, and then the one on the left is full of sodas.
Wow. So you people live on Coke and Coca-Cola.
Sugar, yeah, like it was, yeah, they're trying to kill us. But they're free drinks, so that we could look like pears by the end of... Our bodies will slowly shape themselves into pear shapes. But and then we've got a washing machine, which I never used, and two microwaves and copying machines.
And you could take a break whenever you want, or does everybody
but legally
eat
it's 15 minutes. We are allowed 15 minutes of a break legally, but that all depends.
Sure.
On each individual.
So here's a curved wall that is separating the area where the people eat and have a break from a whole different area. Here we see, looks like copier machines.
Yeah, this is just a copy room. This is where we have to do all the copies. And these giant white boxes with these little slots that almost look like mailboxes.
Uh-huh.
That's the recycling bins that we throw all the stuff that we don't need into. It's highly security, so nobody can take
it. Oh, sure, of course, yeah. Because if people find your drawings, they might know what the movie is going to be about.
Well, what happened is at one point somebody was taking drawings from the studio and selling them on eBay.
Oh, yeah, of course, you don't want to have that.
It was really bad, yeah.
Sure.
And we have computers here. This is what we used to get reference or whatever, or scan the stuff in and work on Photoshop. The background guys usually use it for text.
Okay. Now here we walk up to a very impressive looking space. In the background is another yellow wall with a big picture on it of Krusty the Clown. So that's very cool. And there are a lot of cubicles here. And so those are working spaces for all the animators?
All the cubicles, they're all individualized. I'm going to take you guys to mine. But, this is basically the floor, this floor. There's a partition that blocks away another side, and that's also Simpsons. And diagonally from us, where there's another corner, that is also part of the Simpsons.
It's huge. I'm amazed to see how many people. I didn't know that all these people had their own little working space. So this is one cubicle, and there's a slanted table, actually, with a chair in front of it, and there's a drawing of Marge. So that's actually going to be part of a TV series. That is so awesome. Here's even another cubicle with a couple of drawings. That's funny. Here, there's a kind of a beginning of a scene, and on the right you have like a reference sheet that shows you exactly the height of all these Simpsons characters. So you see Homer and Marge and Bart and Lisa and Maggie, and exactly in the right proportion, so that a drawer, someone who's making these paintings, can see all the time, you know, how high a character should be, how tall it should be in comparison to another. So this is your cubicle here?
Yes. Yes, this is where I live.
A show is around.
Well, basically I've got a slanted desk where there's a disc on it.
What's the purpose of that disc?
The disc is basically been a staple for animation forever. It's got very strange peg holes for very strange peg paper.
I see,
paper. So the holes in the paper, there's a circular one on one side and in the middle, and then there's like flat length kind of little pegs.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And they fit into those pins.
And they, like the peg strips. That's what we call peg strips. They're kind of like pins that stick out. And that's just basically to keep the paper
aligned, or?
Yeah, exactly.
And you work with pencils. There are a lot of pencils here. And pens and erasers and...
Ooh, are they the blue pencils? I can never find the good blue pencils.
And
white out and erasers, and there's a pencil sharpener.
And
it's all very basic, low-tech material, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what we use. That's how it's always been. Recently, some studios do stuff in tablet PCs, but mm-hmm. mostly every single studio usually uses paper and pencil.
So when you make a picture, how do you start off? You have like immediately you can draw a character like that, or do you first have to draw some basic lines? Or
yeah, I can't draw straight. straight off the bat, I have to basically put some indication as to what I'm going to be doing and how I'm going to do it. So even in the drawing I've got on my desk right now, you see some really light shapes.
It's in green pencil.
Yeah, I just use green for no reason other than I just want to use green.
And then you fill out the characters afterwards.
Yes. By the time they're done, they should look a little bit more, tighter.
But, you know, a question I have is, you have hundreds of people working on these TV series, and they all draw the same characters, but how do you make it consistent? Because, of course, everybody has his own style, but yet a Simpsons episode should look the same, and you should not be aware that there are, you know, different artists working on these characters.
A little bit goes into the overseas studios, who ends up cleaning it up. They're in charge of making sure that everything looks consistent. But at the same time, we get what are called model sheets. And the model sheets are basically pieces of paper with the character, what he looks like. The cruder model sheets only have one drawing of a person. And the more advanced model sheets basically have a turnaround, which is basically the characters in different positions. So you can see the back, the front, the profile, the three-quarter. I'll show you some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is the Simpsons model pack, main model pack, secondary model pack. This is where all the secondary characters are, and it's this big, fat pack of papers on legal paper.
Oh, yeah, you can see the various characters and lines indicating the proportions. And
yeah, so this is what we use.
That's awesome. That's some of the very well-known characters. Rainier Wolfcastle. Jasper.
And then just Quimby's aides, which you barely ever see.
Dr. Hibbert. Yeah, that's cool. So you see Dr. Hibbert in five poses, you know, from the back and in front and the side view and everything. And all the teachers and even Itchy and Scratchy.
Yeah, so we've got all these guys.
Grandma Marge. Awesome.
And then we got the main model pack, which is basically the main characters. So, main model pack.
Oh, yeah, that's Maggie and a lot of drawings of Bart in all sorts of positions, kicking and being afraid and startled. And You even have, like, indications how the hair should move? Well, Marge's hair?
It's actually just instructions as how she looks like and what
it's
up.
It's cool. Hair bends back at the top. No shoulders. Upper lip dominates lower. Make eyes a bit wall-eyed. Never cross-eyed. So there's a yes, and then you see the eyes, and then no, and then Marge is cross-eyed. This is a specific style of Matt's characters. So Matt Groening is the one who kind of made the definitive look of all these characters, right?
Yeah, it's his style. But the person that actually refined the way it looks, if you remember the old Tracy Hickman show, Tracy Ullman shorts. Tracy Ullman shows. It's they were very different. They looked very different. So. I believe it was David Silverman who actually set the style for what it looks like now. He and also the director of The Incredibles, which is Brad Bird, he also had a lot to do with the way The Simpsons look now.
Cool.
So way back at the beginning.
Brad Bird was involved with The Simpsons? I didn't realize that. He's absolutely incredible. Something for The Incredibles and Iron Giant, two of my favorite animated movies.
Oh, sure.
I had an idea that he had something to do with The Simpsons.
He's pretty much responsible for Sideshow Bob and what he looks like and how he acts and everything, because it was he basically developed that character.
Fantastic. So here you have also a light behind your table. Why is there a light, behind a paper?
We use light tables so we can see through the paper so that, when we animate, we can see the drawing underneath and line things up and make it consistent and be able to see how the animation is going to work eventually.
So you guys make these very pretty detailed sketches, and then all the in-between stuff, where is that done?
That is actually done in Korea, and then it's actually cleaned up over there. Cleanup is basically a fine, clean line around our drawings, which are a little bit rougher. They're not super clean, but they're not so rough that they're impossible to read. They read well, it's just that they're not very clean.
Yes, so they kind of do the ink, the final ink on a... but I suppose it's all done in computers over there.
They have to do it by hand, at least the cleanup. And then they,
oh, really?
And then they, yeah, they, then they scan the drawings into the computer, and then they color it in the computer.
What are all these pink folders here?
Every show has its own color. And when I say show, I mean there's multiple shows being made at the same time.
Oh, right. So you're working on various stories, and you make sure that the drawings end up in the right folders.
Yeah, and each folder has a number.
Mm-hmm. It says The Simpsons, the familiar Simpsons character, the font, and then show number.
Yeah, this is show number JABF08 and scene number 252B, which means that there once was a 252, and they had to add stuff in between 252 and 253, so it's 252B.
Here's an orange piece of paper with a huge Homer Simpson blob thing, and Marge and Bart looking very bewildered, and it says, "Don't be a blob, save this date." And then there's some kind of Simpsons premiere party.
Yeah, the Simpsons premiere party is coming up. So
that's when the new season starts.
Yes, I think so. And so usually they hold a party in somewhere, and everybody goes. And sometimes celebrities show up, and sometimes they don't.
So how much time does it take when you're working on drawings like that? How much time does it take between that and the moment it airs on television?
We have 1 month to do a rough of the show.
Of the whole show? Of a whole episode?
Yes. But that's after we got the storyboards, which is basically a comic book version of the show. And then and they have a month to do the boards from the script. And I don't know how long it takes the script writers to do it. Probably about a month. So once we do a rough pencil test version of the show called an animatic, the writers review it and do any changes that needs to be done. And then we have another month to revise and do all the changes. And then it gets sent overseas to get finished, which takes about a month or two, something like that. and then it gets editing. So it's about 5 to 6 months to do one show.
Wow. And how is it to see an episode that you worked on? When you see it on television, is it new for you, or do you preview it? Or
No, actually, we sometimes get to see it here in a screening. We have a conference room that we just screen the shows. Sometimes they screen the colors, sometimes they forget. But no, I never actually see the shows. I always forget that it's on, the show's on. So,
and wow.
I always see it.
That's weird.
Yeah, I always see it. Well, you're surrounded by the show.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually enjoyed the show much better when at one point when I wasn't working here for one season, I was like, wow, this show's funny. It's like, wow, this is a great show. I want to go watch it. But yeah, like when if you're working on it, you just...
Yeah, it changes your perception.
Yeah, and you see them all, and you're like, okay, that's cool, and eventually, once you get far enough away from it, then you could enjoy it.
But yeah, sure,
it's too close to home at first.
Here's a huge calendar, a calendar with huge pictures, and here's a picture of what's actually happening in the picture there.
Well, in the comic book guy's comic book shop, Milhouse, and boy, what's that character's name?
Some kid?
One of the other nerds. And they're watching Milhouse and this other guy dressed up as Spock fighting. So, and it's a Spock fight tonight. And
other people gambling on them.
Yeah. And Mo is going in. You can see him having just come in, and he looks confused because he's got a rooster because he thought it was cockfight.
And underneath it says Art Luis Escobar. So you worked on that picture. That's cool.
Yeah, I did the entire calendar actually. So
wow, there are more beautiful pictures
there.
The
2006 calendar was done by you.
Is your work?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. You also did the colors or?
No. The colors was done by Sherban. I'm pretty sure Sherban did it.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and the rest of the cubicle is basically a drawing of a fell beast. This is what I was telling you guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was doing that, but I actually have the scene. I turned it in.
Sure.
This is a scene I've recently completed, and it's just basically a group of FedEx people running. That's all that's going on here.
That's what you're talking about earlier.
Yeah, and you can see that they're running through the scene.
Oh yeah. You're flipping the pages, and you can see actually the people running and a little bit of the animation. Yeah, that's the most ancient form of doing an animated movie. It's just by flipping the pages.
Yeah, these guys are getting hit. Like, this guy got hit in the neck. So he's, like, holding his neck and he's going down.
Now, you're not just surrounded by Simpsons stuff, but also by a large number of movies and books and everything. That's what you kind of watch when you're on a break or you're searching for information or inspiration?
Sometimes, if I'm doing storyboards, I have the movies specifically for that, but oftentimes I just listen to movie commentary sometimes when I just want to have something to listen to. Yeah, so I just have, like, just movies here just in case I just feel like listening to a commentary or just having some background noise.
Right. Here's a nice print out of some scenes from the new Superman movie.
Yeah, Superman movie, which I didn't really like, except for the action.
I agree.
And there's something I've been wanting you to do, and that's actually, you should watch Smallville, because that actually is Superman done fairly well.
Yeah. Several people recommended it to me.
Yeah, and it's such an obvious thing for you, because Superman's such a Christ figure that, I mean... and especially the way they write the show. There's
okay.
A lot of like God the Father themes going on. So, but and here's some old scenes that I did earlier this season.
Wow. Sometimes you just draw elements without drawing the rest of the character.
Yeah, they work on top of the other elements.
Oh, so you have just a character, and then there's just only one part of him moving or superimposed?
Yes, that's one of the reasons why there's a light box, so that whatever, these are magic wands on here, and whatever's happening with the magic wands is actually this. So this is the magic.
Right, I see, yeah, cool.
So they line up. So
that's a huge pile of paper for just 2 seconds of animation, isn't it?
Yeah, it takes 24 drawings for 1 second.
For 1 second, my goodness.
How long does it take for you to draw just a single character? I mean, do you feel as though you're pretty fast and can just whip them out?
It depends. It depends on what the character is. And if they have a lot of detail, it takes a lot longer.
Yeah.
And if there's a ton of them, then it makes it even worse. Like in the scene that I got on my desk, there's just a ton of characters running by and you just want to shoot yourself.
Do you always do the like the blue wireframe for every character that you're going to draw there first? And do you do that for the main characters that you draw all the time?
All the time, just because I'm just not good enough to just do it out of the top of my head. And there's some people that are just like, they can just project the drawing straight onto the paper through their head. It's like they have a laser on their forehead and they just copy what they see in their head. Me, I'm not like that. I do a light indication as to what I'm going to do, and then I develop the drawing that way. It's kind of like an outline of if you're going to write, you kind of do a little rough outline. And then you flesh out the outline. And that's kind of like what we're doing, like what I'm doing, but through drawing.
This is more comic book stuff. It's also The Simpsons, but it looks like it's from a from a comic book.
Yeah, some of the comics I did.
So you worked on the Simpsons comics as well?
Yes, I do Simpsons comics off and on since 95, I think.
Wow, that's cool. And those stories are also developed by a team of writers, and then you get to draw them, or...
Yes, they're developed through a completely different studio called Bongo Comics, and that's directly owned by Matt Groening, so he owns rights to anything that happens in that comic book.
So I can make sure that the comics books stay in the same, you know, style as the Simpsons episodes, the TV episodes.
Sure, but it's like, I don't think he owns the TV rights, but he owns the comic book rights to do it, so it's like his own thing. And then they get freelance writers, and then they write stories for the comics, and then the scripts are sent to the artist, which would be me in this case, and then I just basically developed the comic.
So this is still a story that is in development, I suppose. It's about some kind of alien abduction? Or?
Yeah, no, actually it's been out for a while. It's very old.
Okay. So what happens in that story?
It's actually it's one of my favorite comics that I ever had to work on, because it has very little dialogue. I think it has like 2 squares of dialogue. And it's basically Maggie gets abducted by aliens, and then she starts a revolt against the aliens with a bunch of other baby aliens that got abducted along with her. And they basically take over the world and free themselves and attack the aliens back, and then get home. And she crawls back into the house, and Marge never knew it happened at all.
Pretty awesome.
And those are my some of the directors.
The directors, you got like a wanted, 1 cent cash reward poster here, and 2 pictures of very awful looking people.
Yeah, those are 2 of the directors. The one on the right is the director. The one on the left is the AD, the assistant director.
So The Simpsons is a very comical animated cartoon. Is the atmosphere here just as cheerful, or is it just a bunch of very hardworking people?
Both. sometimes it gets very silly. And sometimes you're just ready to, like I said, you're ready to shoot yourself. It's just too much pressure and all the stress and has to be done.
Because you're always under a time pressure to finish something.
Yes, but some shows are more difficult than others. Some shows require like a ton, and I mean a ton of work, especially if there's a massive crowd. And like the writers have gotten to this habit of saying, and then the town riots, and then we have to draw it, you know.
And so you say that in 2 seconds, but to draw it is horrible, of course.
Yeah, it's just like one artist sitting there for a week drawing tiny little people moving increments at a time, and it's just, yeah, you're just like miserable, and you're like, why am I in an animation? I can't stand it. But then there's the other times where it's not like that.
And that was the first part of our visit to the animation studios where The Simpsons are born. In the next episodes, we will discover many more secrets of The Simpsons, and Louise will tell us more about the magic and the hard work behind the scenes of Springfield. If you want to know more about Louise Escobar and want to get a fascinating peek into the world of a Simpsons animator, you can visit his personal blog at www.louiseescobarblog.com. You can find a link to his blog in the show notes of this episode on www.sqpn.com. And finally, some exciting news. The Catholic Insider podcast has been nominated for the Podcast Awards 2007 in two categories, People's Choice and Religion Inspiration. You can show your support for this podcast and encourage me a bit by voting every day from July the 28th until August 11th on www.podcastawards.com. And the show in those categories with the most daily votes will win. And that, of course, would be excellent. I would be eternally grateful if you could spend 1 minute a day during that period to vote for the Catholic Insider. Thanks in advance. You can reach me at catholicinsider@sqpn.com, and you can leave a message on the listener feedback line at +1 206 202 4455. Stay subscribed for more episodes coming soon. I'm your host, Father Roderick. See you next time, and God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.